Now this morning, I thought we'd have a sort of large Bible study. So I've been looking up some of the excerpts from the Bible which have the word treasure in them, or tell us about treasure. Our first reading this morning was from Matthew chapter 6, and I want to draw our attention to this bit that Jesus says about money and possessions. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them up and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Whatever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, this passage isn't only talking about your weekly offering to the church. It's about investing in heaven, which you accomplish by your acts of obedience to God. We should be seeking the fulfillment of God's purpose in all we do, not just because we have got a lot of money. You'll all agree with me that we live in a very materialistic world where many people serve money. They must have the biggest house, the flashiest car, the latest gadgets, the most exotic holidays, etc. There are also those who save up every penny. They never spend it even on themselves or others. But what's the point of saving all that money, collecting it all up and storing it? Because when you die, you have to leave it behind you. For those people, the desire for money far outweighs their commitment to God and spiritual matters. And it's easy to fall into the materialistic trap where we spend much of our time and energy thinking about money. Can we honestly say that God and not money is our master? In this passage, there's a sense of the heavenly values versus earthly ones. Jesus says that we need to be loyal to these things which cannot fade, cannot be stolen or used, and cannot wear out. We should not be obsessed with our possessions in case they end up possessing us. Jesus is calling us to live contentedly with whatever we have, and that choosing to follow him is something eternal and lasting. We move to a little bit further through Matthew's Gospel to chapter 13 now. Short passage, verses 44 to 46, where we find out about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choicest pearls. When he discovered the pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Now, in the ancient world, very much as in our world today, pearls have a very special place in people's hearts. I know, for example, the day I was born, my mother insisted that my father went out and bought my grandmother a string of pearls that she would always remember the day I was born. And when she wore the pearls, she would always remember me. And quite fitting it was when she died that I actually had those pearls. So I have the pearls that were bought on the day I was born that my grandmother had, and now they're mine. In the ancient world, people desired to own a lovely pearl, not for its money value, but for its beauty. They found pleasure in holding it and admiring it. Now, interesting, the main source of pearls in those days were the shores of the Red Sea, which you would expect, and even Britain. I always think of biblical times as people not travelling very far, but obviously merchants travelled as far as Britain, even in those days. A merchant would scour the markets of the world in order to possess the finest pearl of surpassing beauty. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a pearl in this reading. A pearl would have been one of the loveliest things in the world. To be in the kingdom is to accept and do the will of God. It is a lovely thing. beyond the discipline, the sacrifice, the self-sacrifice, and even the cross itself. There is a wonderful loveliness which we will find nowhere else. The only way to bring peace to our heart and joy to our mind and beauty to life is to accept and do the will of God. We can find loveliness in many things in the beautiful world of ours. The one pearl which is lovelier than any other. We can find loveliness in knowledge and in the human mind. We can find loveliness in art and music and literature and in the triumphs of human endeavours. And we can also find loveliness in serving our neighbours and in human relationships. In this parable, the man was not searching for the pearl, but came upon it by accident. And this resulted in him selling everything and making a sacrifice in order to gain that most precious thing. This leaves us with the truth that when you discover the will of God for yourselves, whether as a lightning flash or as a result of a long and faithful search, it is worth accepting it. We move into Mark's Gospel now, and also Luke's, where there is the discussion of the parable with the rich man with the disciples. It's the one of the bits we heard this morning. I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Now, the young man had been a faithful Jew, and he'd never broken the Jewish law. But it was his pride that stopped him from entering the kingdom. His love of money represented his pride and self-effort, and his attitude made him unable to keep the first commandment, "Let nothing be more important to you than God." He was unable to meet the one requirement Jesus gave him, to turn his whole heart and life over to God. Jesus wanted this man to sell everything and give his money to the poor. But this doesn't mean that all believers should sell all their possessions. I've often thought about that, and I think of the sacrifice Mother Teresa made of giving up absolutely everything to help the poor in India. But this isn't what Jesus wants for all of us. Some people will be able to do that, will be given, will be equipped with what they need. But not all of us. If we all gave up everything and gave it to the poor, where would we be? The person who has everything on earth can still lack what is important, and that is eternal life. I chose a reading which doesn't actually mention treasure, but I think it gives us the impression of treasure to a particular person, and it's the widow's offering. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called to his disciples and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on." The passage obviously is about the fact that the gift given by the widow was by far the smallest of all the gifts that were given, but that it was worth more because in the Lord's eyes, she actually gave more than all the others. The value of the gift is determined by the spirit in which it is given, not its amount. A gift given grudgingly is worth less than one given out of gratitude and with a spirit of generosity. We now move into Luke's Gospel. The parable of the rich fool. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not to have a rich relationship with God. The parable of the rich fool is about the fact that life is more important than material goods. It is our relationship with God that is important. Jesus says that a good life has nothing to do with being wealthy. We should guard against greed and a desire for what we don't have. This is the exact opposite of what society usually says. Advertisers spend millions on enticing us to think that if we buy more and more of their products, that we will be happier. I remember in my training to become a local preacher, one of the units asked for us to watch an advert on television and to discuss it. And I found it very difficult to find one. It was talking about how adverts affect how we think. And there was one at the time which was a Sky TV advert. And some of you may remember it, or you may not. Some of these adverts sort of disappear from your mind, don't they? Picture the scene. You have a lovely house, but it's pouring with rain. You have a discontented husband going to his car, and it's all muddy. There's a dog running around the garden, and it's covered in mud, and it's all wet. The children are fighting. The wife is exasperated. And then suddenly, you get Sky TV, and it all changes. They go back to the house. The house is beautifully clean and shining. There's no rain anymore. It's all sunshine. The car has miraculously cleaned itself. The dog has miraculously cleaned itself and is now just running around the garden and wanting to be petted. The flowers are all beautiful and it's a lovely day. That isn't what Sky TV can offer us, is it? Not at all. I often think about the adverts on television at this time of the year as well, because having dared to mention Christmas with the star, with the children, the adverts are coming on the television now, aren't they? We're in October, just, and the television is now having adverts for the thing that a little girl must have and a little boy can't do without. And those adverts don't really tell us anything about life. They just make children greedy, I think. It's not about a small gift to say we love you. It's about what's the biggest present I can get. But a truly good life is more about our relationship with God and doing his work. Jesus is challenging us to think beyond earthly goals and to use what we have been given for God's kingdom. Faith, service, and obedience are the way to become rich towards God. And the final passage I've chosen is from later on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, which is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. If you remember, if you know the story, it's about how the rich man didn't even notice that Lazarus was by his gate. And Lazarus was very sick and ill and eventually died. And a little while later, so did the rich man. He died. He didn't go to heaven. Lazarus did. The rich man asked for pity, but Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. Here the diseased beggar is rewarded, and the rich man is punished. The rich man went to hell because he was selfish, not because he was rich. He refused to feed Lazarus, take him in, or care for him. The rich man was hard-hearted in spite of his many blessings. The amount of money we have is not important as the way we use it. Jesus asked us to use what we have to help others and not hoard our money and possessions." So God has given us great treasures. The Bible to show us the way. Jesus to show us how to live. Our friends to share our faith with. And the faith to believe in him. Amen.